Ready?
Ja. Okay.
Hello.
Claire, it was your pick this week.
Was.
What did you pick and why?
I picked Hero from 2002 because it was, I think, recommended on The Rest Is Politics, but I may have imagined that
Oh.
having seen the film. Or it was at least mentioned, and I thought it might be interesting in the context of having watched the man, not the Manchurian Candidate, the other film, The Last Emperor, which was
Oh, yeah.
like at the end of the Chinese dynasties of, that political system.
Yeah. Imperial China.
Yeah, that's the word. Whereas this was before Imperial China, and I thought, oh, that'll be an interesting if that's a good film like The Last Emperor that
Yeah.
will have loads of interesting talking points for us to talk about. And so I chose that film, and I can't wait to hear everyone's political analysis.
Brilliant.
So there you go.
Ooh.
I think that's, yeah.
Who would you like to hear from first?
As always, I would love to hear from Fernando.
Fernando.
Yeah.
Was this a Chinese Matrix? Or.
Yes.
Yes, I don't think it's a coincidence that The Matrix came out, what, the year before or something?
Yeah,
Yeah.
3 years before, I
Three
think.
years before. Yeah.
Well, now we know that there are multiple matrices.
Yes. The second of the three matrices had just come out, I think, and the third matrix came out the year after.
I see.
No, I meant there's like the matrix where the Western people live, and there's also another matrix where Asian people
Oh, yeah, okay. So this is just the Chinese matrix. And would you like to live in the Chinese matrix, or would you like to take the red pill and never watch this film again?
I'd like to take the red pill, please. What
it too deep for you?
I guess I just did not understand. Was this supposed to be like a historical film, or at least inspired in history, or?
I thought so, but now that I've looked it up, it's definitely not. Yeah, it's essentially a martial arts film, isn't it?
I did not even know whether the movie was in English or in Chinese because I started watching it here on a Mexican streaming service that said English brackets original, and then I was like, wait, all these people have like very funny accents. I don't think that this is like originally in English. And so I looked it up on Wikipedia, and indeed it said Mandarin. I was like, wait, so is it in English or is it in Mandarin? Which language is it the original? And then I finally understood that it was the Chinese version, and I just had to rent it on Amazon Prime instead of the other one. And yeah, watching it in Mandarin was much better than watching it in English. But still, it was very confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so confusing.
Yes.
Maybe you weren't smart enough to understand the intricacies of the
I think
plot.
that is it. I think that is
That might
it.
be it. It was
Yeah.
pretty deep.
I mean, it's always the case. That is always the case. As in, I'm definitely not smart enough. I don't understand anything. The only thing that I can do, and not even always, is just cook my porridge, and that's it.
Well, maybe that's okay. Laura, did you understand the intricacies of this film?
No.
No.
Feel like I'm missing something. Like I'm missing a really complex political analysis that's there. And if I could just interpret the colours, I would get it.
I
Do you
see.
know what? There has been stuff written about the colours.
Oh no,
I
about the colours
know.
representing something political.
Oh, there's
Oh.
like logic or passion and
Oh, man.
Sadness and... Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to look it up, but I mean, I'll be honest, the credits are kind of still rolling on my TV, so I don't
know. Classic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Great.
I kind of liked it.
Good. I'm glad.
I think I've seen it before.
Oh, really?
You mean I didn't stick with you?
No, not at all. The only thing that stuck with me was the sword piercing without hitting any of the organs. And we were going through the film. I was like, is this this film? Is that going to have that? And I thought, no, it can't be that. It's got to be the other thing that I've seen. But then it was that. But I swear to God, I didn't remember anything. I couldn't tell you what was going to happen. Didn't remember the end. Didn't remember any other part of it apart from the organ thing. So I guess I watched it when I was like, you know, 14.
Yeah. Yep. It's been a good age for it, I think.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it, Michael?
Yeah, I got something out of it, okay. But I wasn't great. Yeah, poor is how I would rate Hero 2002. Sorry, Quentin Tarantino presents Hero 2002. Trot that out for the Western audience. Yeah, it wasn't great, was it? It would there was some interesting visual stuff, but all it went on, there was these fight scenes that just dragged and dragged and dragged, and the plot was kind of interesting. It did this Rashomon thing, right, where we were presented with different possibilities of what happened, but it did, I think, make it clear in the end what had happened. And
well, point for discussion.
Point for discussion. I think they ended up by establishing what the facts were, and wasn't particularly satisfying. But yeah, I mean, there was some... It did something. It did something kind of interesting. It was a very different film. It's not... I wouldn't say, oh, I've seen loads of films like this. It was so derivative. So, all right. But overall, a bit boring.
Yeah, I think boring is the word I would use.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I was bored. I thought it was entertaining. I got a bit bored with the retail. I thought, oh, we are going to be in the palace this whole time just doing flashbacks, are we? Okay. What did you think, Claire? Apart from it being boring.
Apart from it being boring. Yeah, it was mostly just boring.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time, because it's actually was well received as a film. And I just don't get it. Like, all the extended absurd fight scenes, I just, once we'd seen one of them, I didn't understand why they dragged on, like, every fight scene. It was just like, can this not be over now? But I guess people like watching that. People watch these films, don't they? So it's just not the film for me, I think, which is fine. Yeah, okay. I don't think the twist was as clever as they kind of thought it was.
No. And I don't think the fight scenes were as artistically, like, good as they thought they were. They didn't merit the runtime. I don't really think that anyone, let's say anyone with taste, was watching those and really getting so much out of it that they were like, wow, I wouldn't shave a second off that.
I know, but how many Fast and Furious films are there?
Yeah, exactly. And we don't watch those, right? No. Because they suck.
Because we're better than everybody else.
Because we are better than everyone. Well, not everybody else. Most people don't like Fast and Furious films.
That's got to not be true.
That, I mean, most people are women. I rest my case.
What am I? Sorry, Claire.
I was saying it's not that we're better than them, it's just that our opinion is more correct.
I see. I feel like we've had many iterations of this argument.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to argue on the other side of it, because I do agree, but I feel objectively we can't say that we objectively have the rights to decide what's a bad film. And I feel like if you're really into martial arts, I thought the fight scenes were pretty cool sometimes. Yeah, as you say, it's not really my thing, but it was like ballet, you know? I get some people go to the ballet and they're like, boring, this is shit. Where's the story? I don't want to watch these people just swirling around for 2 hours, but, you know, some people really like ballet, and that's okay.
Let's see what you mean. Yeah, if we think of it not as like a... No, it just wasn't very good though, right? maybe you're right. I'm thinking ballet, like there are people who are experts on ballet who know about the history of ballet and have seen ballet done well and done badly, and they know what they're looking for.
I think the same applies to martial arts.
I wonder. Yeah. I bet the same applies to martial arts, but I bet people who know about martial arts would laugh in the face of this film.
I'm inclined to agree.
What a ridiculous load of rubbish.
On the basis that it won an Oscar. And I feel like the Oscars have shown that they have bad taste most of the time. And they pick mediocre films that they've just, you know, some niche of not a very good example of something has made it into the mainstream somehow.
Oh, interesting.
Never seen that before. Yeah, I love it.
Very interesting. Mm. Yeah, it's my opinion that just because a film has been in the Oscars doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. But sorry, that's my Tamagotchi just gone to sleep, so I better turn the light out, and that should be him for the night. There we are. Yeah, so maybe... What Oscar did this win?
Best Foreign Language.
Whoa, win?
Really?
Wikipedia says here the film was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film.
Oh, sorry. I thought it won an award. Hold on.
Nominated, thank God.
I can't.
Academy Awards, Best Foreign Language Film, nominated, but did not win. Best Film, nominated. Best Cinematography.
You're quite
that's
right.
That's what it won.
Oh, it did win Best Cinematography.
Best Cinematography. I swear cinematography just means film.
No.
It's like how they point the camera and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
films
are.
All the colours.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, wait, but then even that is not for the Oscars. Best Cinematography was for the Hong Kong Film Awards.
How was this Hong Kong? I kind of thought it was like a mainland China film.
No, wait, it was. It was a mainland China, but this is just the Hong Kong Film Awards.
Oh, I see. Just like you can win a Cannes Award and you can win a Hollywood Oscar Award. Yeah, okay.
It was also nominated for the Best Foreign Independent Film by the British Independent Film Awards.
Okay. Right, that's interesting. Yeah, so I would have been surprised if this had been Hong Kong for reasons we might discuss later. Anyway, yeah, the cinematography was good, I guess. And I liked the colours, and I think it could have been half the length.
It could have been 1/50th.
One 50th, that would have been tight. I think then I'd have said this could have done with a slightly longer run time. 1/20th, maybe that'd be about okay. Yeah, just imagine if this had been like a really fast paced, like blistering, wow, so much happened, that was dramatic, that was great. As it was, it's like every scene I was thinking, okay, when are we going to go back to the palace and see what's happened? I like them sort of playing with reality and...
Oh, yeah. Can I make my point about that?
Please.
Well, I must confess, someone said this on Reddit, and I was like, oh, where they said the film is actually about that history is written by the victors. So we just end with the emperor, given that he was victorious in, you know, uniting China.
Yeah.
That his version is presented last, and as though it's the truth. But the whole point of the film is that there is... endless ways to manipulate the story and the truth, and we never really know which is
okay. But I don't think that's right, is it? I thought that he gives us sort of the second one, and it turns out that's not correct.
I don't know, man.
Right? I don't know what this guy on Reddit's been smoking. But,
hang on, let me look.
Maybe we could outline this. So from what I understood, and you can all tell me if I'm wrong, because it's possible I didn't understand all of this. It's a little hard to follow sometimes. That we basically had three, they were standing in this palace and we had three stories laid out. The first one was the nameless warrior's explanation of what had happened,
which was
that he had personally killed these three assassins. That turned out to be a lie.
Yep.
The emperor challenged him and said, I know that that can't be true because I've met these assassins. I know a bit about them. Here's what I think happened. You persuaded them to let you kill them. so that you could get here and do your amazing move on me. And then they played out this whole thing with him actually killing them. And then the third story, which was the nameless warrior confessing what from what we could tell, confessing what had really happened, which is that it's something like what the Emperor said. He really did have this move and he really had come to kill the Emperor. But in fact, he had just staged the supposed killing of them by stabbing them in such a way that they wouldn't really die.
Yes.
And he was even having second thoughts about killing the Emperor. So that third version, we have to end up thinking, was the true one. And that was not what the Emperor thought, right?
Yes, but I suppose potentially what the person on Reddit was saying, I only glanced down at my screen when the credits were on, to say, oh, that could be interesting, is that the epilogue of the funeral and the Emperor and then the title, what's the word for title card when it comes to
credit?
The story part.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Our land, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That part is actually the history speaking and not in a constructed way of being like, this is how you're meant to interpret the story.
Mm.
Because, again, history is written by the victors. So we are seeing it through the lens of, I don't know, I guess current day China.
I see. So certainly I thought this did come through the lens of current day China.
Mm.
But I thought it was an unacceptable piece of propaganda thought was appalling. It's like, can you imagine like a Western film, like a Hollywood film or a British film that ended with the assassin who had come to overthrow a tyrant deciding that even if the guy was a tyrant, it was better to have stability under a strong leader than to risk instability so that people could have self-determination.
That's every American film that's ever been made.
That is absolutely not every American film. The American film is about the underdog doing the right thing. And they always like present films like that will present the guy they're fighting for and the guy they do things for as a beneficial group. Whereas this was like, you've just got to have a strong state, man. You don't get bogged down in all of this democracy and like people deciding what their own future is going to be. You just need a strong leader and you please stop questioning authority. And this guy is this, do you know what? This amazing assassin, would-be assassin that we followed all the way through this that has such a strong moral compass. He could see that what we really need is the Chinese Communist Party to run our lives for us. And I couldn't believe it. But you think there's American films that are like that?
I think there's absurdly patriotic American films that justify American kind of like neo-colonial kind of, authoritarian dominance over the world. Like in a way America. That they do present it as like, yeah.
That's a parody of that sort of film, isn't it?
Yeah. In a different, like the narrative would be different. It wouldn't be so, it wouldn't be like that. It would be more like, look at this evil country that we're going to go in and save. God bless America, we've done it.
Yeah, and bring democracy to them and all of that. We know that in reality, it's not as simple as that.
Yes, I see what you mean. I thought you were being serious
there. I'm serious in that in the films, they're always in favour of justice and righteousness and not compromising, but
some of them are overtly like about American superiority. And I feel like the new Top Gun is the one that springs to mind for that.
Now I haven't seen that.
Where there's an insurgent sort of they're the military that go in and blow up the base of a foreign country who's a threat. Yeah, but we don't really learn about. It's just like, look at these American heroes, like taking when they just bomb a load of scientists, and we don't even think about all the people that they kill by doing this maneuver. It's just it's a fun film though.
But it's a film about us defeating them, the outsider, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a film about us deciding to accept to stop challenging authority and just accept our ruler's decision. everyone wants to do what the president in these films tells them to, because he's our president and we're the Americans who are better than everyone else. That I'm sure Chinese viewers of those films would have just as much to say about it and would say, God, another one of these American films. Yeah, one of these, another nationalist piece of trash from Hollywood. Yeah. But it did just stand out to me as a very party-approved film morale.
Yeah.
Again, you could read too much into it, and maybe some stories aren't the same as what I want them to be, but it wasn't satisfying, given that we knew that this emperor wasn't the best guy. And he was just a warlord who was had an ambition to take over the world.
I'm just confused, because I also read in my very brief reading that this director has a history of being quite anti-authoritarian and he's been very critical of the regime.
Wow.
So well, I don't know how he fucked this up. I don't know
if they got to him or...
Maybe it's breaking the rules to even suggest that the authoritarian leader might cause deaths.
maybe even portraying him as a bit of a nasty guy and saying, but we have to put up with nasty guys sometimes. Maybe that was a bit daring.
Yeah, maybe it was a.
I don't know.
Brutus is an honourable man type of
thing. Oh, yeah, maybe it was ironic, right?
Yeah.
We're meant to go out and be like, oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, yeah, we must all obey the king.
The king only rules because we don't assassinate him, because we choose not to.
Yeah.
We could easily have turned that sword around.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whenever I feel like it. Interesting. I also thought it was really stupid.
But me too.
What were you going to say?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were finished. I thought you were just saying it was really stupid. And I was like, yeah, it was.
Yeah. No, there was a particular thing, which I think we mentioned a couple of times. These weren't real people and this didn't really happen, but it had a title card at the end telling you what happened next, which was just nonsense. It might as well have said, and then... You know, 10 years later, these two got married and so-and-so won $1 million. And, it's just stupid. And they even said, and even today in China, we still call it our land. As if I'm meant to really believe that this guy came up with the phrase our land. I don't know.
I mean, that was also the part of the translation, which is they changed under heaven. Our land.
Really?
Yeah, because the Hollywood people, the American, thought it would land better with an American audience or something. I read that on the website.
Okay.
So it was meant to be the whole world, which I thought was odd, because he did say at the beginning, the six kingdoms are just the beginning and I'm going to fucking, go for everything after this, which would make more sense if then the final thing was the world, the whole
so
idea.
Under heaven is everything.
Under heaven.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But I guess I'm...
Everything is under heaven, but all of the earth.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Dear.
And the underworld, presumably.
That's true.
Oh, dear.
I was going to say it was stupid. Parts of it were like a spoof.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, honestly, some of it was just really silly. I was I'm just not. It's meant to be beautiful and poetic, and it kind of sound, if you described it, it would sound it like the calligraphy. Man, he's leading his students back into the room that's being volleyed with arrows. But when you look at it, it just looks like a Monty Python sketch or something. It was laughable. It was just you can just imagine the minds of the students being like, oh, really? Are we? Oh, God. Okay, right. Yeah. Everybody, I just hurried to the front.
Fine. I tell you what made me laugh. And he spent ages doing this writing the word sword. Yeah. And I was like, wow, he's putting some, he's tried it 100 times and he's only done it in the stand yet. And now he's finally got the red ink. And when he finally put it up, it looked shit. It was so rubbish. Big mop. Yeah. I could have done it better than that. And they even showed him doing it. He was just sort of dragging this mop across.
Ripping it everywhere.
Ripping it bits not coming through properly because he hadn't pressed it down properly. It just looked rubbish. And I'm easily impressed by Chinese calligraphy. I think it looks beautiful when they do it right.
But
it just looked rubbish. It was like everyone would be like, oh, well, is it finished then?
Oh, yeah. I also laughed at the bit where they were having the fight with their eyes closed, just standing still. The beginning where they're like, the fight took place in our minds, and it just shows them standing opposite each other with their eyes closed, like, and then you have this fantasy sequence of where, oh, it's in black and white, oh, we were going into their minds and showing them doing this intense battle, and it would just be so funny. Imagine if they're both winning in their minds, it'd be like, haha, yeah. Oh yeah, fucking got that guy. One of them's not even fighting in their mind, they're just Homer Simpsoning it, just monkey going around.
Yeah. So were we meant to think it was like they were, like it was a game of chess and they were both thinking a thousand moves ahead and figured out what was good. Yeah. And you want it to be it would have been stronger if they'd played this whole thing out in their mind because they knew and made the point that they were able to do this because they knew each other so well and they knew exactly the move the other person was going to make. And then one of them should have realized that that it was futile and he should have just thrown his sword down without them actually having to do it. But then they just went and fought anyway.
I had that exact thought. Be like, what was the point of any of that if you're just going to fight anyway?
Yeah, stupid.
Just an excuse for arrest. Because that's what
the martial arts ballets people wanted, I guess.
I'm just the guy quietly packing up his musical instruments in the corner, being like, time to be hitting the old dusty trail. Let you get on with this.
That guy reminded me of, wasn't there a guy in Mutiny on the Bounty that started playing a drum when they were having the mutiny? Everything like, this isn't the time. You don't have to play the drum because there's a fight going on. You could get out of there like everyone else. You could help. but again, it was good in a kind of silly, campy way.
Yeah.
It was like there's a bit in the Errol Flynn Robin Hood film where they're fighting with sticks and Robin Hood like jumps back for a second and shouts to the guy playing the lutes, oh, play a livelier tune that I can make this rascal dance to. And then everyone laughs and he starts playing it and they carry on fighting. And it felt like that, like a sort of silly ho-ho-ho sort of, swashbuckling pastiche. Yeah, I said pastiche. Get me? But it was pretty like dead serious and I thought they were so clever. It was again, I think, the influence of The Matrix, right? This amazing sort of mindfuck film where everything's in the mind and we transcend reality with our brilliance and stuff, but they hadn't really done it well because it wasn't The Matrix, it was just two guys in a courtyard.
I can't get the thought out of my head of them imagining that fight and then one of them just dropping their swords. Like, how powerful would that have been as a scene?
Mm.
That'd have been amazing.
Yeah, just do it right.
Yeah.
Commit to the big
films.
Yeah. Oh, this is another bad thing about the subtitles. They were playing Go, right? There were all those Go boards where they were putting down
chess.
It said chess.
It wasn't chess.
It was obviously not chess. What did they think? Let me tell you something about movie audiences, kid. They don't want to hear about Go. Just say it's chess. The audience will understand.
How dumb do they think American audiences are? They're like, lovely game of chess. You've heard of that, haven't you? Yeah. Yes, you know about that. Yeah. Old people play it in the park. It looks a bit like this. Yeah. Just.
And don't worry if it just isn't what's on the screen. It's like the I seem to remember some a company called 4Kids were infamous for doing anime dubs into like American English, and that they would do things like that. They'd clearly be eating rice balls or sushi or something, and they would have the characters be like, "Hey, do you want a donut?" And you could see like it obviously wasn't a donut, and it obviously wasn't pizza or whatever, but they just thought like, oh, the stupid fucking kids aren't going to, like, they're going to immediately throw the TV out the window if we say rice ball. Yeah, really, really bad. And to write Quentin Tarantino on the front of it.
My God.
Like, we're going to go, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. Let's go and see it. Who presumably, it said he produced it.
He didn't.
Which presumably is like he executive produced it. Like, he liked it because it had swords in it. And so he said, yeah, this is my kind of thing. Put my name on it.
I read on Wikipedia. Have you not read the Wikipedia page? Normally I rely on you to read the Wikipedia page.
I've had a little glance at it in the last, like, since we started the call.
There were, like, major delays getting it released in Hollywood. So eventually Quentin Tarantino said, just put my name on it. So I don't think it had anything to do with the production.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so bit poor, which makes me think if this was a better film, it would at some point have got like a Criterion release where they fixed all of this and got proper translators in and, yeah, released something more authentic. But I think it's probably not good enough to deserve it.
Harsh.
Yeah, I speak as I find.
Has anyone ever seen the, maybe not because you're not on the internet as much as I am, but the thing where they've taken a High School Musical song and taken out the music and they've just left in like the sound of them sort of shuffling and breathing?
Oh, I think I have seen that. I didn't really get it because I haven't seen High School Musical, but they did the same thing for the music video of Gangnam Style, which when you think about it is ridiculous when you actually just hear what it must have sounded like.
It's just the thought occurred to me, if it didn't have this sort of grand Chinese music playing all times a year, it would be very silly to watch. Just this, like, quite crap. The music's doing a lot of work to make this. And it's not even really working.
Did you ever see the scene at the end of the first Star Wars film where she's giving out the medals to everyone?
Mm. We've seen Star Wars, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, there's a version of that where they've done the sound effects and removed John Williams's soundtrack.
I see.
And it's absurd because no one's talking. It's like a minute and a half scene where no one says anything. And everyone, no one's applauding or anything. They're all just standing there in silence. You sort of hear someone coughing at the back. And then she sort of smiles at him and puts the medal on and then turns around. It's just crazy. So, yeah, you're right. The music was doing a lot.
Who was your favourite character?
You mean other than Moon?
You liked Moon, huh?
Yeah. The I think, Claire, you called her the film's real protagonist, right?
Did I?
Yeah. We didn't talk about this film much, but we got as far as, yeah, Moon was the real good.
I have guy. No recollection of saying that. Did I really say that?
Oh, maybe I just... Did I think it? Yeah, she was someone you could really back, right?
She was a bit...
basically didn't want people to die and fell in love and tried to protect the person she loved, and
yeah, that was nothing to do with me. That's entirely your thought.
Oh, okay. Fine. Well, I had this
that's a nice thought.
I had this really clever thing I thought, which is that she's the true protagonist of the film. Yeah, I really like Moon.
What did you think, Fernando? Who's your favorite?
Who is my favorite? My favorite is Flying Snow.
Me too.
I like her name.
Me too.
There are several things that I can say. The first thing is that I'm looking here at the gobase.org on history of Go, specifically, history of Go. And then, of course, it tells about the history of Go in China, Korea, and Japan. Of course, it says that Go was made popular around the Western world. Well, in fact, all over the world. Not by China, but by Japan. That's why we know it as the name of with the name of Go instead of the Chinese name, either Wei Qi or Yi, because the Japanese made it popular. The name Go was only made actually popular around the 20th century. Before that, it says the game has been called chess in English. So even though I agree that maybe it would have been better to refer to the game as Go, because that's how we know it now, the word chess has been used in English prior to the 20th century. So yes, I agree that sometimes it's better to just say rice ball or nigiri instead of donut, but yes, chess has been the word that was used to refer to the game of Go before the 20th century.
Okay, maybe I... okay.
So that's one thing. And the other thing is that I have my own version of what happened with Flying Snow.
Oh, great. What happened?
So what I really believe, and this is just me reading between the lines of all the everything that was said, and of course the heteronormative society in China back then, I believe that Broken Sword fell in love with Nameless because he realized that he was gay, and then Flying Snow got jealous, and so she killed Broken Sword, and then Nameless decided to kill Flying Snow because he was in love with Broken Sword, and then decided to go and kill the Emperor anyway. But then, because Broken Sword was already dead, and in seeing the majesty of the Emperor in person, he just fell madly in love, love at first sight with the Emperor, and that's why he
decided not to do it.
Exactly, he couldn't kill it after all. Kill him after all.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yep.
I love it. I'm totally on board with that retelling. And why not throw another one into the mix? We should get our own audience made up version of what happened.
Yeah. Well, Rashomon, we kind of
what happened.
Yeah, exactly. In Rashomon, we settled on some kind of in between answer to what had really happened, and I think we should have that in Hero as well. But rather than being in between, like way outside any of them, that's really good. And there was a very touching, intimate relationship between Nameless and Broken Sword, wasn't there?
Yes.
And come on, half the film was them waggling their sticks at each other.
Sword fighting, some might say.
Sword fighting. Nameless cut... One of them like cut the other one's sword in half at some point, didn't they?
Well, it looked like one of them. Oh no! Wait, no, that was.
Oh no! I'm thinking of another film. Anyway, yeah, they had a lot of love there.
What did the red ink mean? He said, "I want to write this in red ink." Sword, broken sword. I want to write the last half of your name in red ink.
Yeah, well, it had to be in red ink because it was an 8-foot scroll.
Why did
Which
that?
Doesn't make sense to me, but yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the red ink because blood is interchangeable with semen.
Yes.
In cinema. And he had to go and borrow the red ink from Flying Snow by asking her nicely, and she was none too happy about it. Yeah. Big gay answer to the to what this film was about. Well done, guys. Normally it's Laura as well. I'm glad it was Fernando this time.
I learned from the best. I learned from Laura to always question the status quo.
Yep. Oh, hey, and there was this whole scene where Flying Snow got really angry with Broken Sword because she saw him sleep with Moon. I bet she was jealous, but maybe she wasn't jealous of Moon, but of Broken Sword.
Mm. Oh, you think it's another...
Maybe she was gay as well. What do you think of that?
That's Carmichael.
May have their whole battle in the yellow wood.
No, it's not possible for women to be gay, Michael.
Oh, I forgot about that. So you keep me right.
I believe that all the Imperial Court was gay. As in, what's the explanation of them only wanting to be around men if that's not the case? As in, all of the soldiers were men, and all of the servants were men. And
yeah, they were eunuchs, right?
Mm.
I don't know if it's clear why it has to be like eunuchs rather than women.
Interesting.
Why eunuchs wouldn't possibly assassinate him, given everything we know about Chinese history, which is a huge number of them were murdered by eunuchs.
Yeah, but eunuchs are genderless. They're not. They don't have the female propensity to poison.
That's true, except as mentioned. A lot of Chinese history shows us that they really do have the propensity to to murder emperors in various ways.
There are lots of things wrong with these assumptions.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, sounds about right. Women poison people. Men are decent, straight, upstanding people who...
They'll shove a sword in your belly.
Ah, but sometimes they'll just shove the handle in your belly and then say, I'm not going to kill you after all, psych. Have fun oppressing the rest of China.
Slash maybe the world. No matter how many people have to die to achieve that goal of peace.
Phew.
Good stuff.
Who do we all want to be cast as then?
I would quite like to be the emperor. I quite liked his style.
Yeah.
Like to be the baddie.
What about you, Claire?
I don't know. I'd quite like to be the guy playing the music.
I was going to say the calligraphy master.
Yeah. I think those were definitely the most interesting characters.
You're in your ivory tower just ignoring everything that's going on, hoping you don't get killed. Yeah. I had you down as Moon.
I thought you might say that.
Yeah.
I didn't like Moon that much.
Yeah.
I thought you made
a bit weepy.
A bit weepy, okay.
She wasn't that weepy. She did the sort of like, she shouted a lot. I liked Flying Snow's composition.
Mm.
Is that what I mean? Probably not. Her.
She was quite tempestuous and flighty and.
But she it was a controlled tempestuousness.
I don't know. Yeah, sort of revenge, best served cold type thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. She was quite sort of dead-eyed looking and just kind of like she'd seen some shit and she was just cynical. Moon allowed herself to feel. That's who I'd want to be.
Now, would you have described any of the men as dead-eyed and cynical?
Yeah, Michael.
Well, would I? Let's see.
Only if they were dead-eyed and cynical, and there were no such men in the film.
I feel like you maybe could apply that to Nameless, to be fair.
Nameless.
He was a bit
or would you describe him as determined and steely?
Determined and steely. There we are. Yeah, no, I'm just threatened by the idea that that men might have emotions and that women might be able to control themselves.
I think this whole film was a metaphor for how men should express their feelings.
Okay, talk us through it.
The candles. Something to do with the candles.
Candles. Yeah, they just candles. All they need is a big hall with some scented candles and a bit of bloody peace and quiet.
How come he needed candles to know what the assassin was thinking and feeling? Can he not? Just share their feelings.
They were cotton scented candles. They helped him relax, which is all men really need to do. Just take a chill pill once in a while. Have a yogurt. Have some me time. Have a bath. Have a glass of wine.
You'll think about your gut health more.
Yeah, exactly. Have a yogurt, do a massive shit, which is a bit they don't mention in the adverts. And then, yeah.
Ah, the pleasures of the scatological. One of my anthropology lecturers used to talk about that.
That's great.
Yeah.
That was enough to make me want to do anthropology.
I'd never have gone. When they were like, "Don't make sure you don't go more than 100 paces," I'd be like, oh, geez, how am I meant to work that? I'll just stay at the door, thank you. I'm not going to stay. Yes. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so you'll be killed instantly if you come within 100 paces. Like, well, your legs or my legs? Like, big paces, little paces? We use meters. Well, I suppose they make it easy for him by putting a little tea set for him to go and have a cup of tea at.
True.
That's how you know how many paces it is.
I only have one more note, which was that it was a bit Sauron-esque when they were, I mean, you know, that scene where Sauron's just swiping away all those elves and men in the flashbacks of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now I want to know, who do you think would win in a fight, Sauron or these guys?
Good one. Well, all they had to do was cut the ring off Sauron's finger, right?
True, and you'd think they would be able to do that.
So if they can get within 10 paces of Sauron, they've got it. Yeah, I reckon they could do it. Even the woman one.
I'm going to play the music soon
on that note. I'm actually quite glad I picked it. There was quite a lot to say about it in the end.
Yeah, good to tick off different genres.
Yes.